died of a drug overdose. And as I saw her today, my heart just broke for her. And I suppose one of the things that I've been criticized for is having a heart for this community. And when I saw this woman today, I'm thinking, I just don't care. Say whatever you like, I really don't care. There are people out there who just need to know the love of Jesus. And I was thinking, this is the ministry that Jesus has given us that enables these people to come and know the love and the healing power of him. And it's this ministry that suddenly gives these people who have no hope, hope. And I was thinking, man, that's what I'm interested in. I don't care what people have to say about it. I want to get involved with this ministry. And so tonight, we're just going to, together, enter into this story of what Jesus says about prayer ministry and about all that. So it's kind of a brief outline, because when you start looking into the prayer ministry and all that sort of stuff, there's so much you can say about it. So tonight's kind of a bit of a beginning. And so we'll have another opportunity. We're going to invite different people as well to come and speak on it over the future. But I was reminded that when I was younger, I used to go and watch rugby games with my dad, and we used to take a train into London. And practically every time I went with him, we ended up praying with somebody. And I just couldn't believe it. My dad would be going over to the bar to get a pint, and next minute he was praying for someone. I'm walking up an escalator with him, and he got to the lady. She goes, he would say, excuse me, I've got this word for you. This is, and she'd be crying. And then we're both at the top of the escalator praying for this woman. And I just thought, as a young, you know, this is kind of bizarre. But I realized more and more, this is what God's called us to do. It's not bizarre, because there's people out there who need to be prayed for. And so I've come to see that praying for people through the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit is the greatest way we have to put people in touch with the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and the person of Jesus. And when we pray for people, there's two things that are very important. Firstly, we're praying in the name and the authority of Jesus, aren't we? We're not doing it in our own thoughts. We're doing it under his name and under his ministry. And secondly, we're bringing God's power, the power of the cross, the power of what Jesus did upon the cross. And through that, God mediates wholeness and healing. And so there's two things. We pray in the name of Jesus, and there's an expectation that God can bring wholeness and healing as we begin to pray for people. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're invoking the power of the Holy Spirit and God's authority, the authority of his word. And what we're doing when we pray for people is we're praying within what God has written here. So we're not praying our own thoughts. We're shaping what we pray through God's word, through what God says about praying for people, how he says to pray for people. And we're using this as a means by which we can minister his healing to others. Also, when we pray for people, we're praying in a way that's dependent on God, not dependent on us, or the way we may have prayed before. And I think what I've learned over the years is when we pray for people, God surprises you how he does this. He doesn't do it the same way twice. Does anyone recognize that? He wants us to be listening to him. He wants us to be watching what he's doing. He wants us to grow in our faith as we learn to pray for people. And the other thing about praying for people is that God speaks to us in a prophetic sense. He shows us what the Father's doing. Jesus says, I do nothing without what the Father is doing. Lads, do you want to come and get a seat? If you're going to come and join us, you can grab a seat. Come sit here, it's all right. You're very welcome. Great to see you guys. We'll talk about praying for people, so you can join us in a minute. Excellent. Brilliant. So Jesus in Luke says this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he goes on today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so what Jesus is saying through this is what I have come to do. What Jesus is saying when he stands up in front of the people, he's declaring his intent. He's saying when the kingdom of God comes, it comes by way of anointing, It's good news to the poor. It proclaims freedom for those who are bound up, freedom for the prisoners. It gives us eyes to see. It releases the oppressed and proclaims a year of the Lord's favour. This is what Jesus said. I've come today to fulfill this in the reading of this scripture. And when Jesus proclaims this, he's proclaiming this in the year of Jubilee. He's proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. And the year of the Lord's favour is this. It's in the, Jesus is declaring in the, I don't know if you know about the year of Jubilee, it's in the 50th year. And Jesus said, he's proclaiming what is the liberation. It says this, in the 50th year, in the year of Jubilee, it says the debts will be cancelled, slaves will be freed, and family life will be restored. So when Jesus is preaching in the temple, he's saying, I have come to bring the Lord's favour. I am bringing the Lord's favour to these people. And the anointing upon me is good news to the poor. He's going to bring freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And then secondly, he's come to bring salvation. And do you know what the word salvation means? It's a very interesting word. Do anyone have a clue? It's what? That's what Jesus brings. But the word salvation means to bring into a wide open space. So if you're bound up, where do you want to be? In a wide open space. If you're oppressed, where do you want to be? In a wide open space. So when Jesus said, I'll bring salvation, what he's doing is bring people into this wide open space to set them free from factors which constrain and confine. So when we're praying for people, we're setting the captives free. We're bringing them from those things in their lives which captivate them, would capture them, and bringing God's salvation to set them free from factors which constrain and confine. And through this, it's through the power of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And it's by the anointing of the Holy Spirit the Lord releases his ministry to the church. And he says this. He says, I've come to bring good news to the poor. So who are the poor? It's what? Us, yeah, exactly. It's the poor. It's those who recognize their need of Jesus. And then it says, he's come to bind up the brokenhearted. And what does that mean? It says this, he's come. The broken heart describes the damage done to our minds, our emotions, our spirits, our souls, our bodies by events which have happened in our lives. So when he says to come to bind up the brokenhearted, it's an incredibly amazing thing. He's come to bind up the pain from our past, the emotional hurts, the way things have happened to us. It's this incredible picture of restoration. He's come to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. And we're not going to talk all about that now because that's something which we're going to do in another time. And so Jesus, when he came upon the earth, there's a time where he suddenly comes upon, his ministry starts, he begins to preach. And if you come with me to Matthew 4, he says this. He goes, repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is near. And do you remember that story when Jesus is there? And what Jesus is saying here, he's declaring that the kingdom of God is near. And in response to his nearness, Jesus is calling a people to get ready because the king is on the way. He wants us to prepare the way of the Lord because God wants to come near to his people. And that's one of the things I'm really aware of at the moment is that we, 2 weeks ago, we had a time together. We had 3 days. We had one of a time of repentance. Secondly, we had a time of praying that this place would be like a house of prayer and a heart of prayer. And then we prayed for the community. But what I really believe the Lord wants us as a church is to really deal with these things in our lives that we're struggling with. Because God wants to come near. And I really believe that. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. I know that God wants to come near. And so God is calling us to prepare the way for the King. And so Jesus declares, the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And what God is doing is ushering in a kingdom rule that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when God brings his kingdom, he's bringing his authority and power against the kingdom of darkness, undoing the work of the devil. And his kingdom, when it comes, is not fully realized, but we've seen signs and symbols of God's power as we begin to minister his healing. And I don't know if you remember the story in Narnia where, do you remember the story where they're in Narnia and it's completely frozen over, isn't it? Do you remember that story? And they're captive to the wicked Ice Queen, isn't it? And the whole place is this desolate image, and in it there's no life, and it's just a wasteland. And then we hear the story. It says we hear the declaration: Aslan is on the way. Do you remember that in the story? And as they hear that declaration, Aslan is on the way, we begin to see the kingdom of ice and the kingdom of this queen begin to melt. And as we begin to see that, we begin to see those things which were dead come alive. We see color come into the screen, and we begin to see a kingdom turned upside down. And in the same way, it's exactly what Jesus is saying. When his kingdom comes, he brings his authority and power against the darkness and undoes the work of the devil and begins to turn upside down those things in our lives. The devil has caused all our hurt and pain and all those kind of things. So Jesus, what he did when he called his people, he modeled the kingdom, he declared the kingdom, then he modeled the kingdom, he called people to be part of the kingdom, and then what did he do? He got them to start praying for people. It says this: Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. And large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. And so Jesus modeled the kingdom of God. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And then he came and began to bring his healing to the situations that people found themselves in. Where's it gone? Where are you? Where have you gone? Sony makes it. There we go. So it says that he healed all who were with diseases, those who are suffering from pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. So Jesus came and healed all. Then he called people to follow him. He called Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Then he called the rest of the disciples, and he called them to be kingdom people, to be ministers of this kingdom. He says this: these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. It says, as you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, and freely you've been given. And so what Jesus is saying is this: that his ministry is our ministry. And what Jesus did is what he's calling us to do. And what Jesus did is what God wants to teach us how to do in his church, so that we can begin to bring his kingdom in the places of our influence. And so that might mean being in our community. It might mean being in our place of work. It might mean where we're studying. It might mean in our families. It might mean whatever situation we find ourselves in. And so what we're going to do now is, that's a very, very brief outline of that, you know, God wants us to pray. What we're going to do is be very practical about this. And so firstly, God wants us to be trained to minister his kingdom. So how many people have some sort of training in praying for people here, just out of interest? So we have some people here, which is good. Excellent. And who here hasn't been, you know, hasn't prayed for people yet? Brilliant, okay. It's what? Have you prayed for people yet? Or you just... Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Anyone else hasn't been trained to be prayed for yet? Okay, brilliant. We'll get you praying tonight. Excellent. Anyone else? A little bit, yeah. Fantastic. Okay, cool. So what we're going to do is we're just going to begin to look at what it means to minister. So when we pray for people, Jesus, we've got to learn very first of all, how did Jesus pray for people? Firstly, he came, he ministered love and compassion to people, didn't he? So when I saw that lady come into the church today, my heart had compassion for her. I saw her and thought, oh my gosh, it's like, what an amazing person. As I saw her today, I began to just sense the story in her life. And then when she told me, it was slightly more dramatic than I expected. So you're motivated by love and compassion. And as a church, we want to create a safe place in which people can come into here and that we can pray and minister to them. And so one of our values as a church is we want to be a welcoming church where people can feel and can come into the church and feel actually it's okay to come here. And why do we want to create a safe place? Well, firstly, when we pray for people, people are making themselves vulnerable. So when we come up to pray on a Sunday morning, some people come up to you and they come out with some very personal things. So we've got to be very aware that people are making themselves vulnerable. Secondly, people are sharing often very personal things. And so when we pray for people, we've got to be very, very aware that when they're coming forward to be prayed for, it's a massive step they're making. So what I want to say, so I'm trying to think how to hit this one because it's... I think what I'm going to do is we're going to model praying first. So, who wants to be prayed for? Excellent. Excellent. This is Annette.
Want me to stand?
Yes, stand up, come forward. Brilliant. So what we're going to do is, so what we do when we pray for someone is very simple, is that firstly we want to be friendly to them, obviously. So what I would do when I'm praying for someone is I'd say, hi there. So I'd say to Annette, I don't know her name, but I'd say, so how are you doing? It's good to see you. So what's your name?
Annette.
Okay, well, my name's John. Excellent. It's wonderful having you here. Is there anything particularly you'd like me to pray for you about?
Yeah. I'd like to pray for my kids.
For your kids, okay.
Yeah, and three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'd just like to pray for them in general, that
okay.
when I speak to them and just yeah. all the things I've tried to plant in their
okay.
lives. And,
okay.
You know, like you, they're okay. at a stage where they don't believe.
Okay. So okay, fine. So we've got you coming up forward. So what I would say to you probably is that we could pray for your children. You know, we could pray for that. But is there anything specific that maybe you'd like to be prayed for or you might not know?
I'd like to pray that my youngest would actually start to, he's questioning, but I'd actually
okay.
like him to start to actually really start
okay.
to believe. Yeah.
So I suppose what I'm saying to you is, what can I pray for you?
For me?
For you, that's the thing. Yeah, I'm asking, because we okay. can pray for your children.
He often has discussions with me, and
mm-hmm.
Only for the first time lately, I felt like I had a discussion where I was confident, but sometimes he's so articulate, I can't actually, mm-hmm. like he's into hypnotism and all sorts
okay,
of things.
Okay, yeah.
I just want to say to him what I believe without being,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
Is
yes, okay. So, yeah, it's fine. So, what I'm going to do is, so what I'll say to you is, if you just relax,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe put your hands out just to receive, as in when we're going to pray for you. And what we're going to do is, when we pray for someone, we're praying in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to sort of say, well, we've heard what Annette said, but sometimes I've discovered that the Lord wants to say something different. I remember someone came up to me once and said, could you pray for my knee? And so I prayed for their knee and said, Lord Jesus, I really pray now that you just really, you know, fix this knee and make it better. And so I prayed the prayer and, you know, they went away. And anyway, the next day they came back and said, John, it's fantastic, my rash is healed. And so we never quite know what God's doing, do we?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're just going to invite the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon Annette now. So what we do is, as a man praying for a woman, normally I'd pray a man prays for a man and a woman prays for a woman, but because Annette's here and I'm standing in front of all you lot, so, and obviously I've got to put my hand in an appropriate way. So I'm going to put one hand here and I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit now upon Annette. So Lord Jesus, we just welcome your power to come now upon Annette, Lord. We just thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing in her life. And we just want to bless you now, Lord. And as I'm praying for her, I've got my eyes open because I'm seeing what the Lord's doing. And if you notice, she just keeps staying there. Annette's eyes are beginning to flicker. Can you see that? And that's the presence of the Lord is resting upon her. And so all I'm doing is I'm just waiting. She's told me about her children, and I think that's great, and we'll pray about that as well. But I'm just looking at Annette now and just thinking, well, okay, Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? Just take enough time, just let the Spirit just do its work. We're no rush when we're in the presence of the Lord. Just keep it. I'll just keep it. And I just see a picture of like a swimming pool. And in it, I just see lots of kind of toys. It's kind of like these block balls and block this and that. And it's like, I just really sense that there's a picture of the Lord. It's okay to have fun in God's presence. And I just feel the Lord wants to really bring freedom. It's just so that you know that you're perfectly pleasing to Him. That He thinks you're absolutely fantastic. And He wants you to jump in like a child. So Lord Jesus, I want to really pray now that you just bring your freedom now. You just bring your freedom now, Lord, upon Annette. Lord, I pray that she should see herself as you see her. Increase your power now, Lord. So did that mean anything to you, that picture?
Yeah. My son, Fionn, that I'm praying for, we broke up when he was just 12, and mm-hmm. he went to live in Africa, and mm-hmm. I lived here, which was very difficult.
Yeah.
And his school had a swimming pool, mm-hmm. and when I went out there, I was always getting into the pool with him. That was one of our places for meeting. And at one point, when I was being prayed with, I felt God was really just holding my hands. Like, you know, someone that really wants well for you. I felt that. And... I feel I'm finding it hard to let myself go, but I do sense that God does want me to let myself go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm condemning myself when He doesn't or something. Yeah, I feel a little bit of that.
But okay, brilliant. Brilliant. Excellent. So that's one person being prayed for. So that's just kind of it's just a basic praying. So if I just run through that. So when we pray for people, it's good to pray in twos if you've never prayed before. So what we're going to do in a minute is we're going to have people who prayed for and people who haven't prayed for. So the person who's been experienced with praying is just pray along with that other person, because what you do is you learn from others as you pray with them. That's how I learned to pray when I was growing up. What we want to do is when we meet the person, is we want to make them feel comfortable. We don't want to suddenly say, I've got a word for you. We want to make them feel that actually they can receive from God, and we're not getting in the way of that process. And what's very important when we meet someone is to ask them their name, because Jesus knows our name. He's the sheep. And when we know someone's name, it connects us with them. And it makes us feel that actually they think, oh, actually they take enough time to know their name. When we pray for people, it's good to have a fresh breath, so not breathing all over people. So quite often we have a pile of mints and things on the side there, so we can have them in our mouth, and so that when they're listening to what we have to say, they're not thinking, oh my gosh, that breath absolutely stinks, can you please get away from me? It's also quite helpful to have a bath. We'll have some judgment on. Again, we don't want anything getting in the way. I know it seems a bit silly, but it's actually that we're approaching people with dignity, and so we're coming to them in a way that they will feel, actually, this being prayed for is a good experience. And another thing is to have a ministry badge on. And that's just saying that we've authorized you to minister. It means that you've been trained in how to minister, and it means that we're happy for people to minister. And that's why, you know, we're doing this today. So just going through praying for someone. So we've met someone. We said, how are you doing? What's your name? We have our eyes open. We have our bodies. We're not standing behind them. We're not trying to catch them. We're not trying to push them over. We're not trying to create anything that draws attention to ourselves. What we're trying to do is bring God's presence to that person so that they can receive from Jesus, and that God uses us for that, which is an amazing thing. But it sounds like a clock going boom, boom. And so when we're praying for a person, we want to lay hands on them gently. And as I said, we want to be appropriate with where we put our hands. And again, we don't want to push people over. We want to stand in front of them. We want to have our eyes open. And we're then ready to pray for them. So the person standing there, we've asked their name. They're here probably in receiving place. I often say, just put your hands out so that you're ready to receive. I often say for them to shut their eyes so they can concentrate on what's going on. And then as you're praying for them, you're asking the Lord on a number of levels. Firstly, you're asking to the person. So sometimes you might come up, Annette said a few things. And when I heard them, I thought, well, maybe that's something that we need to pray for, but actually there's something other that the Lord wanted to pray into. Secondly, we're trying to find out, what is the Holy Spirit saying? We're searching for the key that God wants to pray into that person's life. And so when we're with them, there's a lot of things going on. We're asking questions and we're saying, Lord, what are you doing here? What is it you want to do with this person? And then eventually we're in a position to minister in that particular situation. And so who else? Does someone else want to be prayed for? So we want to, does someone else want to come up and we'll just run through it, and then we'll have an opportunity for people to pray for each other. So anyone else want to be prayed for? Is there anything that the Lord may be saying? Okay. Okay.
Just for what is there, God's plan for my life.
Brilliant.
Next step.
Okay, excellent. So what I say it's great to see. So what's your name?
Margaret.
Okay, my name's John. It's wonderful having you here. And so you want to pray specifically about that word about God.
It struck me very much.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Excellent, we'll pray into that. So what I recommend you just put your hands out. And then if you shut your eyes. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand in front of you, and I'm just going to put my hand just over your head here, and then I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And so, Lord Jesus, we just welcome your Holy Spirit to come upon, is it Margaret, you say, sorry, Margaret, now. And just as I'm praying for you, I'm just feeling the Lord in your heart, not out loud, but just to those things in your life that maybe you felt that you've been in control. I just want, just the Lord just says, just hand them over to Him. Mm-hmm. So it's just between you and God. It's not because we don't need to hear what they are. And I just want to use those words that God has spoken to you for. It says, God has a good plan for your life. And it reminds me of Scripture. It says, look, the plans I have for you are to prosper you, to give you a future, and to give you hope. And so I just want to welcome the good things the Lord has for you now into your life. So, Lord Jesus, I want to pray you come upon Margaret now, Lord, with your power. Just fill her up now, Lord. I just want to bless what you're doing now, Lord. Just fill her up. And I just again, we're trying to use God's word. I see the word. The Lord says that as you acknowledge the Lord, He will make your path straight. And it's like He's making a correction in your life. He's saying, actually, I'm now in control. And those things which have been difficult, the Lord is going to make a way through. And can you see any pictures in your mind the Lord may be showing you?
No, but I feel that part is right. Mm-hmm. That he I have to hand over and he has to clear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
It's been great to pray for you. Excellent. So it's not that difficult, is it? So shall we stand and shall we find someone who you probably don't know? Which is kind of a bit of a vulnerable thing. And we're just going to run through how to pray for someone. So we'll keep it nice and practical. So let's move the chairs back a little bit and then maybe find someone. And then what we're going to do is we'll have kind of like A and B. So maybe A prays for B and then B receives. And so what I'll do is I'll just run through what we're going to do.